In his second letter to Timothy, the Apostle Paul writes these words, "I charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead, and by his appearing and by his kingdom, preach the word. Be urgent, in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, and exhort. Be unfailing in patience and in teaching." This is In Season and Out of Season, a Bible teaching ministry with Father Tom DiLorenzo.
Good day, it's Father Tom, and I'm glad to be with you today. Yesterday we looked at the conversion of St. Paul, and we remember Ananias was told to go see Paul on Straight Street, remember? And the Lord told Ananias that Paul would have to suffer for what he was going to receive as apostleship, that he would suffer and that he would be the apostle to the pagans, to the Greeks. And so I'm reading from 2 Corinthians 12, verse 22, about the suffering of St. Paul. Are they Hebrews? So am I. Are they Israelites? So am I. Are they the seed of Abraham? So am I. Are they ministers of Christ? I speak as a fool. I am more, in labors more abundant, in stripes above measure, in prisons more frequent. See, he had to suffer. Of the Jews, 5 times I received 39 stripes. 3 times I was beaten with rods. Once I was stoned. 3 times I suffered shipwrecked, a night and a day I have been in the deep, in journeyings often, in perils of waters, in perils of robbers, in perils of my own countrymen, in perils by the heathen, in perils in the city, in perils in the wilderness, in perils in the sea, in perils among false brethren, in weariness and painfulness, in watchings often, in hunger and thirst, in fastings often, in cold and nakedness, beside those things that are without that which comes upon me daily, the care of all the churches. So we see St. Paul, apostle, was a sufferer of persecution. He didn't have arthritis. It was a sufferer of persecution because he was a Christian. His own people persecuted him, the Jewish people. They hit him with rods. This is amazing. The word of God, comes to Ananias that Paul was to suffer much. We look at the 10th chapter of Acts of the Apostles, and we go into the vision of Cornelius. There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of the band called the Italian Band. I keep on saying that Cornelius was an Italian. A devout man, and one that feared God with all his house, and gave many alms to the people, and prayed to God always. He saw in a vision, about the 9th hour of the day, an angel of God coming in to him, and saying unto him, Cornelius. And when he looked on him, he was afraid and said, What is it, Lord? And he said unto him, Your prayers and your alms have come up as a memorial before God. Now send men to Joppa and call for one Simon, whose name is Peter. He lodged with one Simon the tanner, whose house is by the seaside. He shall tell you what you ought to do. And when the angel which spoke unto Cornelius has departed, he called 2 of his household servants and a devout soldier of them that waited on him continually. And when he had declared all these things unto them, he sent them to Joppa. So what's going to happen? We are going to see the conversion of the pagans. But this man, Cornelius, was a man that was in prayer, a man that gave, a man that really loved God, though he didn't know Jesus, not yet. So the angel says, go to Joppa, and you'll find a man named Peter. The next day, as they went on their way and drew nigh unto the city, Peter went up to the housetop to pray. It was about the sixth hour. And he became very hungry, and he would have eaten, but while they were making ready, he fell in a trance. And he saw the heavens opened, and a certain vessel descending upon him, as it had been a great sheet knit with four corners, and was let down to the earth, wherein were all manner of four-footed beasts of the earth, and wild beasts, and creeping things, and fowls of the air. And there came a voice to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." This is a vision. Peter said, "Never, not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything that is common or unclean." These were all unkosher animals. And the Lord says, "I want you to eat. I want you to take and eat." And he says, "I have never eaten such things. I cannot do that. I cannot do that." And the voice spoke unto him again a second time, "What God has cleansed, you shall not call common or unclean." This was done three times, and the vessel was received up again into heaven. Now, while Peter doubted in himself what this vision should mean, behold, the men which were sent from Cornelius made an inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, which was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. You see what's going to happen. The Gentiles are coming to Peter, and they want Peter to come to the house of Cornelius, and yet Cornelius is a Gentile, and Jews did not enter the house of a Gentile. That's what the vision was about. The vision was not only about eating unclean animals, it was about there was someone unclean being sent to him, but he was to go to his house, and he was to preach the gospel. And it goes on. Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house, and stood before the gate, and called and asked whether Simon, who was surnamed Peter, was lodged there. While Peter thought on the vision, the Spirit said unto him, "Behold, three men seek you. Arise, therefore, and get down, and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down into the men which were sent unto him for Cornelius, and said, "Behold, I am he whom you seek. What is the cause? Wherefore have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, Gentile, a just man, and one that fears God, and of good report among all the nation of the Jews, was warned from God by a holy angel to send for you into his house, and to hear the words that you had to speak. Then called he them in, and lodged them. And on the morrow Peter went away with them, and a certain brethren from Joppa accompanied him." So the vision that Peter had was a vision that Cornelius's house would be worthy to be visited, and to speak some words to Cornelius's house. This is very interesting, because this is the conversion of the pagans, the conversion of the Greeks, the conversion of those people that are called Gentiles. So we continue the 24th verse. "And the morrow after, the next day, they entered into Caesarea, and Cornelius waited for them, and had called together his kinsmen and near friends. And as Peter was coming in, Cornelius met him, and fell down at his feet, and worshipped him. But Peter took him up, saying, 'Stand up, I myself am only a man.' And as he talked with them, he went in, and found many that were come together. And he said unto them, 'You know how that it is an unlawful thing for a man that is a Jew to keep company or to come to another nation. But God has shown me, in the vision that he had, that I should not call any man common or unclean. That's the vision that he had. It was all about going to Cornelius' house, that I should call not any man common or unclean. Therefore came I unto you without gainsaying. As soon as I was sent for, I asked therefore for what intent you sent for me. And Cornelius said, 4 days ago I was fasting until this hour, and at the ninth hour I prayed in my house, and behold, a man stood before me in bright clothing, sounds like an angel to me, and said, Cornelius, your prayer is heard, and your alms are remembered in the sight of God. Send therefore to Joppa, and call Simon, whose surname is Peter, and he is lodged in the house of one Simon the tanner by the seaside, who, when he comes, shall speak unto you. Immediately, therefore, I sent for you, and you have done well that you have come. Now, therefore, are we all here present, because God wants us to hear the things that are commanded thee of God. In other words, now Peter's going to preach. This is amazing. This is amazing, because you see, Peter has never preached to Gentiles. And, you know, what's he going to preach? He's going to preach the gospel. Immediately going to preach the gospel. He's not going to preach, you know, where he went on vacation. He's going to preach the gospel that Christ Jesus died for sinners, that he was buried, and on the third day rose from the dead. So let's see what Peter is going to preach. Then Peter opened his mouth and said, of truth I perceive that God is no respecter of persons, be they Jew or Gentile. But in every nation, he that fears the Lord and works righteousness is accepted by the Lord. The word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is the Lord of all. That word, I say, you know, which was published throughout all Judea and began in Galilee after the baptism of John, how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Spirit and with power. He went about doing good and healing all that were oppressed by the devil, for God was with him. And we are witnesses of all these things which he did, both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, whom they slew and they hanged on a tree. Him God raised up on the third day and showed him openly. Well, this is the gospel. Not of all people, but unto witnesses chosen before of God, even to us who did eat and drink with him after he rose from the dead. And he commanded us to preach unto the people and to testify that it is he who was ordained by God to be the judge of the living and the dead. To him all the prophets give witness that through his name whosoever believes in him shall receive the forgiveness or the remission of sins. While Peter yet spake these words, the Holy Spirit fell on them all as they heard the word, and they of the circumcision which believed were astonished, as many as them came, Peter, because that of the Gentiles, they're speaking in tongues, they're prophesying, also poured out the gift of the Holy Spirit, for they heard them speaking in tongues and magnifying God. Then answered Peter, can any man forbid water that these should not be baptized, which have received the Holy Spirit as well as we? And he commanded and commanded them to be baptized in the name of the Lord. Then he prayed prayed they him to stay with him for a few days. You see, God is no respecter of person. The Gentiles received the Pentecostal experience. Why? Because Peter preached to them and they were open. They were open to hear the word of God. They were open. And when Peter preached the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus, what happens? The Holy Spirit comes and they have Pentecost for the Gentiles. I don't think Peter would have baptized them if the Spirit of God wasn't sovereign and just baptizing them in the Holy Spirit. How can we refrain from baptizing them? They have received the same gift we received in the upper room. This is amazing. This is amazing because this is God wanting to touch the world, not only the Jews, but the Gentiles as well. And it had to be Peter that went to Cornelius' house. It had to be Peter. Why? Because he is the leader. He is the first apostle. And it had to be him, because if he wasn't convinced of the reality of conversion of Gentiles, then no one would be convinced. And the apostles and brethren that were in Judea heard that the Gentiles had also received the Word of God. Yes, the Word of God brings about the coming of the Holy Spirit. When we preach the gospel that Christ has died for our sins, that Jesus Christ is buried and was raised from the dead, the Word of God is preached and the Spirit of God does His work. When Peter had come to Jerusalem, they were of the circumcision, contended with him, saying, "You went into a man uncircumcised and you ate with them?" Peter rehearsed the matter from the beginning and expounded it by order unto them, saying, "I was in the city of Joppa. I was praying, and I was in a trance. I saw a vision. A certain vessel descended as if it had been a great sheet let down from heaven by four corners, and it came even to me. Upon that which, when I had fastened my eyes, I considered and saw four-footed beasts of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, fowls of the air. And I heard a voice saying unto me, 'Arise, Peter, slay and eat.' And I said, 'No, Lord, for nothing unclean has ever passed my mouth.' But the voice answered me again from heaven, 'And God hath cleansed that call, not what God has cleansed, you must not call common.' And this was done three times, and all were drawn up again into heaven. And behold, immediately there were three men already come to the house where I was sent from Caesarea unto me. And the Spirit bade me go." I love that. The Spirit bade me go. He bade me to go from the roof of the house down to meet the three Gentiles. "And them, nothing doubting. Moreover, these six brethren accompanied me, and we entered into the man's house. And he showed us how he had seen an angel in his house, which stood and said unto him, 'Send men to Joppa and call for Simon, whose surname is Peter.'" So we hear Peter trying to convince the Jewish brethren that it is all right that he entered the house, and it is all right that the community now is made of Jews and Gentiles. He's telling the story, and he says, "Who shall tell thee words whereby you and your house shall be saved?" And as I began to speak, the Holy Spirit fell upon them, just like it did upon us in the beginning, Pentecost. "Then remembered I the word of the Lord, how that he said, 'John indeed baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Spirit.' Forasmuch then God gave them the gift as he did unto us, and whoever believes on the Lord Jesus Christ was I, that I could understand and withstand God." How could I withstand God? "When they heard these things, they held their peace and glorified God, saying, 'Then hath God also to the Gentiles granted repentance unto life.'" You see, the Jewish people weren't going to accept this reality until Peter told the whole story. I want to tell you that Jesus is for you today. He is looking for you. You are Jewish or you are a Gentile, not Jewish. God wants you. He wants to do something wonderful to you. He's looking for your life, but you have to give him that life. You say, "I am in much sin." Then you go to confession. You go to confession. "I'm in much sin." Paul was a sinner. He killed Christians. I told you that he, Paul, is the apostle of grace. But not only Paul, I am a graced man because God saved me and God forgave me in my sin. And God has bestowed upon me the gift of the Holy Spirit. That happened at baptism, confirmation, and ordination, and was released in 1968. Oh yes, I'll never forget it. That wonderful Holy Spirit was released in 1968, and my life has never been the same since. Little did I know I would be preaching the Word of God. Little did I know that God had touched me so that I would be able to touch you, that I would be able to say to you, so you've sinned, but God is forgiveness. Jesus died for your sins. Jesus was buried for your sins. Jesus rose for your sins. Jesus forgives your sins. That's the reality of it all. And whoever receives this word is the word of God. You do not have to be tormented by your sin because God wants to forgive your sin. That's why Jesus died. And you know, the last thing that we have to think about is that we need to forgive ourselves. We can accept the gift that Jesus forgave our sins, but we cannot forgive ourselves. We ask you, Lord, for the gift to believe that we can forgive ourselves after we confess our sins, that we don't have to hold on to them for another moment. When I go to confession, I don't have to bring out of the confessional those sins. I've been washed clean in the blood of Jesus. You do not need to be carrying those sins. You say, but I've aborted 3 children. Well, you know what? If you've aborted 3 children, God wants to forgive you. Go to confession. Go to confession, and I'm going to tell you what to do. You have to give those 3 children a name and have a mass for each one of them. No one needs to know that they have been aborted. Only God knows. Because it does something to you that you kind of put an end to this torment and this guilt. I remember someone was not in confession who told me that she had 6 or 7 abortions, and I said, God wants to forgive you. She would not accept it. She would not accept the reality that God wanted to forgive her. I hope that during these years she's come to the reality that God wants to forgive her and wants her children waiting for her when she dies in the state of grace. So what do I want to end with? I want to end with the whole reality that the gospel must be preached to the Jew first and then to the Gentile. That the word of God must go forth, and it is the gospel that changes people's lives. Not my life, but the life of Christ who died, who was buried, and who rose from the dead. That's exactly what Peter preached. And when Peter preached that in Cornelius' house, what happened? They began to speak in other tongues and started to prophesy. Pentecost happened. Is Pentecost for the Jew? Yes. Is Pentecost for the Gentile? Yes. God wants us to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, you fathers among you know how to give good gifts to your children. If they ask you for a piece of bread, would you give them a stone? No. If they ask you for a fish, would you give them a scorpion? No. How much more will the Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask? Lord, we ask you for the Holy Spirit today. I ask you for a new outpouring of the Spirit in me and in this ministry, a new outpouring of the Holy Ghost in me and in this ministry. Father, I praise you, I bless you, I worship you, I glorify you, I honor you. You give the Holy Spirit to those who ask. Father, we ask today for the Holy Spirit. Pray with me. Father, in the name of Jesus, Father, in the name of Jesus, I ask you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. I ask you for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Baptize me in your Holy Spirit. Flood me with grace. Flood me with grace. Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus Christ to me. Holy Spirit, reveal Jesus Christ to me. The angel of the Lord declared unto Mary, and she conceived of the Holy Spirit. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Let it be done unto me according to thy word. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. And the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners now and at the hour of our death. Amen. The Word became flesh. God became flesh in the womb of the Blessed Virgin Mary. If you would like to give a gift to this ministry, go to inseason.net, inseason.net, and then you can go to PayPal. That would be a wonderful thing. Or send it as you hear the announcer giving my address. May Jesus Christ be praised. God bless you.
This has been In Season and Out of Season with Father Tom DiLorenzo. A tape of this week's series of messages is available to you with a donation when you write to this new address, Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. Please make a note of it. And remember that this ministry is supported only by the donations of listeners, so please help as the Lord leads you. That new address again is Father Tom DiLorenzo, P.O. Box 602, East Boston, Mass. 02128. And be sure to listen again next time for In Season and Out of Season.